If you have your Bible with you, why don't we all turn together now to Romans chapter 12. It's just two verses today's reading, verses 1 and 2, and I'd love to share them with you now as we come together this morning. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will.
So thanks for that reading, and do keep your Bibles open or the app on your phone switched on as we just look at these couple of verses from Paul in Romans chapter 12. This is our final week on our series called The Present, and we've been looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I hope that you've perhaps gained a fresh insight into who he is and to an understanding that is impacting your life every single day. We started it at Pentecost and just looked at what it was to breathe in the presence of God's Spirit. And then we've looked at fear and the power of God. We've looked at life that this river of the Holy Spirit brings to us. And then last week we looked at this issue of security and finding that in the stillness of God's presence at work in us. But today I just want to wrap that up by asking you, what will you offer in response to God's free gift to you? Often we're a bit sceptical about free gifts, aren't we? That we're wondering what the catch is. And often there is a sort of catch to a free gift. But what about this gift? This free gift that God has given to us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we have got this classic word that Paul uses many times that we translate as therefore. And it's been said that when you see a therefore, you must ask yourself, what is it there for? Which is a good rule of thumb, really. This little word, therefore, occurs 526 times in the New Testament and 21 times alone in the book of Romans. It's typically translated, therefore, but by extension it means, here's how all the dots connect. And this particular therefore in Romans 12 verse 1, of course, comes after 11 magnificent chapters that Paul has already written for us in this letter to the Romans. His magnum opus, I'd like to say, where he's declared God's faithfulness to the people and his promises as God tries to reshape a whole new community of people, a new humanity that will unify everyone around this good news of Jesus, the gospel. So this is a key moment, a tipping point in all that Paul has to say. What is it there for? What are those 11 chapters there for? There's something that the followers of Jesus have to take on board from this, this embodiment of the good news. And we're invited to respond to all that has been written before, to offer ourselves, to present ourselves in view of God's mercy, in view of all that God has done for us through Jesus, forgiveness and freedom and life and security and confidence, the gift of the Holy Spirit, grace. What will we present back to God as our response? See, becoming a Christian, I think, is easy. It's a free gift. But being a follower of Jesus demands a response, a present. Not out of duty, not out of a grudging reluctance, but because of all that we have received. This isn't a competition as to who can give the best gift in return, who can cook the best meal in return for an invitation that you've had. This is a heartfelt response to the generous God who has given everything for us. I'm sure you may have had this happen to you. perhaps your child or your grandchild or maybe a family, a friend's child has rushed home from their first day at school with some magnificent painting and they presented it to you and it is still wet and there's paint everywhere, but they present it to you so proud of what they've done and you haven't got a clue what the painting is about. And you don't want to tell them that. And so through a very clever sequence of questions, you begin to unravel exactly what is on that page. And you find out it's a picture of you or it's a picture of the family and you haven't got a clue what it is. But once you know what it is, you feign wonder and amazement and tell them how fantastic it is and they're going to be the greatest painter the world has ever seen. Of course, it isn't fantastic, is it? It's just a mess. But they are fantastic. And in your willingness to accept the gift from them, you're accepting them. And that gives me a little glimpse as to what God is like. He invites you to offer yourself to him. Not your painting skills, thankfully not my painting skills, but firstly yourself. And out of that offer comes everything else. That's all he asks in return for Jesus and his grace and his mercy towards each one of us. You can't outgive God, but you can give God all that you have. That's all he's asking you for. So let's think about three things that we could give back to God today. Firstly, Paul says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. When you give God your body, you're bringing him pleasure. Isn't that an amazing thing? Whoever thought that giving God your body would give him pleasure, would give anyone pleasure, but that's what Paul says. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. During the lockdown experience, I guess many of us have been exercising more than we did before or more than we ever thought we would do. I'm not sure why we suddenly thought we should take a walk every day, instead of once a week or once a month, or watch Joe Wicks every single day and try and keep up with him or at least keep up with our kids, or invest in some weights for once, or get the rusted, unused bike out of the shed. Is it true that you never forget how to ride a bike? Perhaps someone will tell me that. Or maybe you get out that cross trainer that's in the dark recesses of your garage where it's been stored for the last 10 years and you've started using it. But we have. A lot of people I know have been exercising more than before, trying to get their body into shape. Now, when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, remember where he was. He was in Rome. And it was only the master of the house who was free. Everyone else in the household was under the control of the master. Wives, children, employees, slaves. They had to do what they were told. They weren't free to offer anything themselves, only when they were told to. When they were told to jump, they just had to respond, how high? So when Paul says, offer your body, this is a radical freedom of choice that no one had felt before in that culture. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. And again, let's remember the context. Let's remember the Roman culture that Paul was writing into, a culture that had many gods, many temples to those many gods, and many sacrifices to those many gods. And also the Jewish sacrificial system as well. They were used to sacrificing something else on behalf of them. And Paul writes into this situation, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Yeah, the Roman sacrifices were there to appease an angry God, to try and win favour, to try and get something that you wanted. Paul says, no, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as your proper act of worship. All God wants is you, your body, offered, and then getting off the altar and sent out to make a difference to the world. Life transforming. This is your true and proper worship, not subservient submission. This is a joyful offering. He wants you, and that's enough. It's an affirmation of how much he thinks you're worth. God never compares what he creates. He just wants you. An act of worship literally means to come towards, to kiss. Not out of fear, but out of love. Moving forward with joy as we accept the invitation to come, to enter God's presence and give your painting to our Father. Because all he wants is you. Because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 reminds us that we're God's handiwork, we're his masterpiece, we're his work of art. So offer your body to him today. Secondly, Paul says we need to offer our minds as well. When we offer our bodies in an act of worship, it begins the renewal of our minds, what we think about, what we give worth to, what we concentrate on. Worship is God-centered. And so when we choose to worship God with our bodies, then our minds will follow. J.B. Phillips, in his translation of the New Testament of this Romans 12 and chapter 2, says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within." Let God start a process in our minds. Let him transform our minds. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to change the way we think. There's so much pressure to conform to some other standard. I mean, that's been true for every generation. But let God do his work in your mind. Let him give you different priorities, different choices, different decisions to make. The word that used here for transform in the Greek is metamorphosis. It's a word we have in English anyway, isn't it? We've just stolen it from Greek. A complete change of what is happening in your mind. It's the caterpillar to butterfly experience, the metamorphosis. And Paul says, for every stage of our life, go on being transformed. Because our life is heading somewhere, to become more like Jesus, to be transformed in the likeness of his character, our attitudes, our responses, our decisions, our choices, our reactions, our purpose. Every person can grow wings and fly. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3 and verse 17, he says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." We're being transformed. And this transformation happens in our minds. Because the mind is the battleground for control of our thoughts. And Paul, again, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, says, "Take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ." And you do that through trusting the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. This deliberate, purposeful, necessary offer of our minds in response to the love we feel because of God's mercy. Now, during this lockdown period, as well as more exercise, maybe you've noticed that there are more distractions as well than usual that are coming into your life. Because we've had to stop meeting together in person, we've sort of got used to that a little bit as well. And there's no small group accountability and no worship in the church building just to get us recentered again each week, and no serving opportunities within the church. And we're not able to use our gifts perhaps to serve our children and teach our young people and help adults to encounter Jesus. No conversations perhaps about how good Jesus is and the wonder of his love. It's been easy to get distracted instead of staying devoted. And that happened to someone called King David. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see a story of him being distracted. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 says, "In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David remained in Jerusalem. When all the fighting men had gone off to battle, David got distracted. And one evening spotted his neighbor's wife, Bathsheba, taking a bath." And where did David's mind go? Sadly, into what was to prove a destructive place that affected everyone close to him. And instead of fighting the real battle, and instead of fighting the battle in his mind and taking the thought captive, he let it grow and grow, and he regretted where it led him to. Arranging for Bathsheba's husband Uriah to be killed on the front line of the battle. And this one thought, what this one distracted thought, left to grow, ended up in death. See, we write the stories of our life one decision at a time. And for all David's greatness and achievements, the decision he made is what is remembered. So maybe there are distractions and maybe you need to deal with them in your mind today. A renewing of your mind, a transforming of your mind. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mould, but let God, through his Holy Spirit, renew your mind as you offer it back to him today. Take those thoughts captive and fix your mind on the things above, the things of God himself and what Jesus has done for you. And finally, Paul says we've got to offer our wills, our bodies, our minds, our wills. We're whole people, created in the image of God to do his will and live out his purposes for his glory. Everything's connected. I mean, we know that, don't we? We know how our body, minds and wills, our souls are connected together, how the challenges of physical health and mental health and soul health interconnected. When one part is out of sync, the rest are as well. It shows. It makes a difference. But when the body is offered to God as our worship, when our mind is transformed and in tune with God's heartbeat, when our soul, our will is in tune with God's will, his good, pleasing and perfect will for our lives, then we fulfill all that the Father has hoped for and dreamt of and gave Jesus for. Worship with all we have, renewal of what we think, alignment of our lives and our decisions and our choices to all that God has planned, his good plan for your life. This is what God asks. That's what he wants us to present to him, to offer to him freely, willingly, in view of his mercy shown to us fully in Jesus, settled for us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what Eugene Peterson paraphrases for this passage, Romans 12, and you'll find it in the Message version. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Offer. Present yourself to the Father. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you body, mind, and soul, and set you free to be what the Creator planned for you to be. Today, feel the fresh breeze of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God for you to breathe in and find renewal and offer, present yourself to him. The Holy Spirit is God's gift, his present to you right now. His presence for you right now. So as Paul urges the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 5:18, go on being filled. Go on offering yourself in view of God's mercy towards you today. He has never stopped loving you. So offer yourself to him today. Perhaps you need to seek forgiveness for the distractions that have got in the way of you worshipping the Father. Perhaps a renewing of your mind, a letting go of your will to what God is calling you to. Come, Holy Spirit. If you're experiencing fear right now, don't forget that God's power is real. If you're feeling dry in your life, don't forget the Holy Spirit has life-giving water to flood your soul today. If you're feeling shaken by the experiences we've had or by something that's happening to you right now, don't forget you can find security because God is your fortress and your strength. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me, with life anew. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's join in with that prayer, shall we? Breathe on me, breath of God. I'm grateful to our NBC musicians who have put this together for us today. Join in, make it your prayer, or sit and listen. Breathe in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and in this moment, offer yourself back to him for all he's done. In the name of Jesus, amen.